Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And as I have mentioned, as we're going through the book on Sunday morning, I want to bring some lessons on Sunday evening to look at some subjects to help us look at this book a little bit better, understand it a little bit better, understand what we should be doing as Christians. And let's look at chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in the first lesson we looked at faith. We defined faith. We looked at some examples, and we saw that faith causes us to do the impossible. With faith, we can do whatever God tells us to do, even though we think it's impossible. Last week, we looked at about 15 different ways to build our faith. We looked at some passages and just noticed ways and things that we need to do to build our faith. This evening, I want us to look at running the race of life with faith. Faith is necessary to run this race. So here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I've entitled this, "The weights that hinder and the sin which so easily besets us." The writer depicts the Christian life in these verses as a race. And notice that he says here it's shown as a race, and he said that it is set. This race is set. The race that is set before us. What does that mean? That means it's already marked out. It's set. It is set by God. We don't decide what this race is. We do not decide how we are going to run this race. The race that is set before us. God has marked it out. And the Lord has designed that for us. Where has he designed that? In the scriptures. Well, when we look at this, one of the first things that we see is the inspiration for this race. He says, we are compassed about, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And the witnesses should be an inspiration to us. What he's talking about is back in chapter 11, the people that he mentions in chapter 11. And they are not so much looking at us, we are looking at them. We are looking at them for the inspiration to run the race. They've already ran it. They have been successful. What inspiration do we get from these Old Testament saints? Well, just to mention a few, we see that Abel, when we look at him, that we are to strictly follow God's word. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. And again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But in chapter 4, in verse 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So when it comes to worshiping God, we must strictly adhere to do what God has told us. If we don't, it is not an act of faith. And again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God rejected Cain's offering. God rejected Cain's sacrifice. It was not from faith. And if we offer worship to God not from faith, he will not accept it also. We also see from these witnesses that there is no work that is too difficult to do. You look at Noah. Noah was told to build an ark. It had great dimensions. 300 cubits is 450 feet long. 30 cubits is 45 feet high. Have you ever built like a little wooden birdhouse? Or have you built a little wooden doghouse? Or maybe you built a garage? And you think how much effort went into building those small structures? Think about building a structure 450 feet long, 45 feet high, with no power tools, none of the tools that we have today. But with faith and with God, nothing is impossible. God said, "You build this ark," and Noah went to work. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And notice, Noah preached about something that he had never seen before. The world had never seen rain. The world had never seen a flood. Never before had the world been destroyed by water. Yet Noah built that ark. He believed, he had faith, and he patiently built that. Meanwhile, he was preaching to everyone that he could. Nothing is too difficult for Noah. Nothing should be too difficult for us. Consider the Battle of Jericho and Joshua, where God told Joshua to march around the city one time every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march seven times, blow ram horns, and the walls are going to fall down. That's the way you take a city, right? No, that's not the way you do it. But that's the way you do it if that's the way that God tells you to do it. Whatever the way is that God tells us to do it, that's the only way that it's going to work. If God says you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that's the only way that's going to work. And again, we saw this morning that it is impossible for God to lie, so we need to have complete confidence and trust in Him and obey His word. Another example in chapter 11, that no sacrifice is too great for the Lord. No sacrifice is too great. People will say, "Well, look at everything that I've given up for the Lord." Well, what if you could sit down and talk to Abraham? And Abraham said, "You think what you had to offer, what you had to give up was great? God wanted me to offer up my son. God wanted me to offer up my son in sacrifice to him." No sacrifice is too great for the Lord. And when we look at these people, when we look at these witnesses, when we look at these people of faith, we see the persecution that they went through. Look at the test. They went through trials. And they should inspire every one of us to be faithful to God. Again, if I started making a list of everything that I went through, I'd be ashamed when I compare it to those in Hebrews chapter 11. And friend, the whole book of Hebrews is dealing about faith. It's dealing about our faith that we have with God. And we should be motivated by these people. The whole book is dealing with faith and perseverance. Don't waver. The writer is writing to these Hebrews, don't waver. Don't go back to Judaism, but continue unto the end. And brother and sister, that's the same message for us today. We can't waver, we can't go back. Now, not only does he give these witnesses, but he says, "Seeing we're surrounded about by a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us." Now, you know the runner, they would get rid of any and everything, that any encumbrance that they had to run the race. They wanted to run it as fast as I can. On those slides that I have from BiblePlaces.com, it has statues, pictures of statues of messengers from that time, from the book of Acts, when they would carry scrolls or letters or messages, just a common messenger of the day. And in those statues, they are not wearing a thing. They are indecent. They were not wearing a thing. because their purpose was to run as fast as they could to deliver that message. In the races, they were going to run as fast as they could. They were to take off everything that encumbered them or slowed them down. Now, what do we take off? Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 5. And Paul is going to mention some things here that we should put off. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Friend, we cannot live in uncleanness and evil. Now look at verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Are these things going to slow us down as we run the race? Absolutely. They'll not only slow us down, they will disqualify us from the race. This old lifestyle, the old habits, the old way of speaking, we've got to get rid of it. No more filthy communication. No lying, no gossip. Paul's not the only one that gives us information like this. The Apostle Peter does also. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So our hearts have been purified as newborn babes. So we've got to get rid of what handicaps us so that we can run this race. Now, look at this closer. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, sometimes we say that each one of us has a particular sin that is a problem. The sin which so easily ensnares us. Each one of us has certain things. You may have one thing, I may have another. Each of us has different weaknesses. And this is where the devil is going to tempt us. He is going to tempt us where we are the weakest and most vulnerable. And the devil knows where that part is, that spot is. He knows where he can get us. And he knows where he cannot get us. He knows where he cannot get us. There are places that I am weak, and there are places that you are weak. The devil knows that. But this is talking about the sin that is common to everybody. He's talking about some sin that is common to everybody that so easily besets us. So what sin is common to each one of us? What is it? Is it uncleanness? Is it evil desire? Is it anger? Malice? Maybe it's gossip. Maybe we all like to gossip. Is that what's common to all of us? How about passion? How about covetousness? How about wrath? How about filthy language? Do you know what the sin is that is common to all of us? I'll tell you. It's a lack of faith. That sin is common to all of us. We fall short. We do not have the faith that we ought to have. And that's why the writer encourages us throughout this letter, this book, to build up our faith, to build it up. That is the sin that is common to all of us. What are these weights? Well, these weights could be sins, they are sins, but those aren't common to all of us because we each have a different thing peculiar to ourselves. These weights may be something that in and of themselves are okay, but if we put them before God, they become a hindrance where we are not going to be able to run the race. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a spouse. There's nothing wrong with any of those. It's good to have a job. It's good to have a hobby. God said it's good to be married. There's nothing wrong with any of those, but if we put those ahead of God, those could become weights that slow us down. We can become entangled and snared in those. But the sin that is common to all of us is we do not have the proper faith. And that's why we are to keep working to build our faith. And when we waver and yield, just think about this. If we had perfect faith, we would never sin again. We would never sin because we understand then what happens to us and our soul when it is separated from God. If we had perfect faith, we would not dare crucify again the Son of God. The writer says in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." So here the writer is talking about the Israelites when they came out. They could not enter the land of Canaan because of unbelief. They did not have the proper faith. Now, when you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, entering his rest, lest us fear any of you seem to have come short of it." Now, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that could enter because they had faith. But here in chapter 4, the writer is talking about heaven itself, not the land of Canaan, heaven itself. Can we enter heaven if we don't have the proper faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We sometimes analyze the church and we think, why is there lack of attendance? There's opportunities to come together to worship God, to study His Word. Why is there lack of attendance? Why not more preparation for Bible study? Not more preparation for worship? The list could go on and on. What's the issue? It's our faith. It's our faith. Friends, if we have Hebrews faith, a faith that we can read about in Hebrews, think about how strong we would be. You know, some Christians, they have to be coddled and cuddled and begged to come to services, to get them to do this or do that. Why do we have to do that? It's because their faith is weak. Their faith is weak. Maybe I need to spend some more time with lessons to build our faith. And I know when I study these lessons, it builds my faith. But then again, it's like with any lesson, the people that need to hear it usually are not present because you're all here to build your faith. You're all here to build our faith. We need a strong faith. We need to build a stronger faith. And we can recognize in people when they don't have a strong faith. We can recognize when they have a weak faith. Some will quit the church. Some will quit the Lord, and they're no longer moved to do what's right. They'll go back into the world But we need the faith of Abraham. We need the faith of Noah. We need the faith that no disappointment that comes along is going to get us to turn back and go back into the world. Are there difficulties that come up in the church? Absolutely. And you look back in America over the last couple hundred years, and there have been some major issues that have divided the church. The missionary society, the instrument, the social gospel, other things also. What did people do? Some people, they split sides. Some people just threw up their hands and said, well, if everybody's going to argue, I'm just not going to be a part of that. Well, how's that going to work for your soul's eternity? We're going to be a part of something. We want to be a part of the right thing. You think about whatever you want to think about, some problem you can think of that you know from the past and in some congregation. And you just think of Noah, if that had been Noah involved in that problem, would he have thrown up his hands and said, oh, I just can't take this anymore? Would Noah have done that? No. How about Abraham? If Abraham was involved in this quarrel in some congregation where there is some fuss going on, would Abraham have said, this is just too much for me, I'm going back to my homeland? We can't imagine that. We cannot imagine those characters or Moses doing that. Why? Because they had faith. They had faith, and that's what this writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to do, is have that faith. And I don't care what difficulties come along in life, we need to lay aside the weights and the sin of unbelief so that we can run the race that is set before us. And we see also the means of running this race in verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance. We have to have patience. Patience means perseverance, standing up under duress. And the word patience is used in two ways in the New Testament. One of them has to do with people, and the other one has to do with circumstances. People can provoke one another. We need to learn to have patience with people. We need to learn to have patience with circumstances. I don't want to come across where it's easy to be a Christian. It's not. And there are trials. And some people may have a harder time being a Christian than others. Maybe it's some problem from their past. Maybe it's some lifestyle that they were involved in. Maybe they're trying to be a Christian now and they have a challenge with their job or a challenge at home. As long as we are alive, there are going to be challenges that Satan is giving us. And that is why we need patience. Let us run with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. On the way over here, Carol was telling me some things about a situation, and I said, that's like when I had a job in Cincinnati years ago, and the person that was overseeing me when I took the job, and there were a lot of challenges there, and he said, Bruce, you got to understand, this isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. He said, don't spend all your energy on this issue or that issue. It's a marathon. You got to keep running. Don't get burned out. And that's what happens to us as Christians sometimes. We've got to understand it's a marathon. We run this race until the end, and we have to run with patience. Now, the next thing we see with this is the example of the Christian life, and that's Jesus. The writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word author means leader, one who stands ahead. He is like the beginner. He's the one that stands out ahead of everybody else. The writer didn't say, look back to the Old Testament text for examples. He said, look to Jesus, the author and finisher. And look in your Bibles at that, the author and finisher. It has our italicized. That was not in the original. Basically, it means look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. If we want to know what faith is, we look at Jesus, because Jesus demonstrates that. He manifested it. He exemplifies faith and trust in God. You know, he talked about trusting the Heavenly Father, and we talked about that some this morning with David in praying to God and putting his complete trust and confidence in the Heavenly Father. And Jesus knew that God would supply everything to him that he needed. We need to have that faith also. And if we have food and shelter and clothing, we should be thankful, and God will provide for us. And Matthew 6:33, Jesus said that our Heavenly Father, if we were seeking the kingdom first, he's going to supply everything that we need. Paul said that he learned to be content. We need to learn to be content also. Being content isn't something that happens naturally. And we see a lot of people that go through life that are never content. And why is that? One reason some people are never content, one reason why some Christians are never content and they can't finish running that race is they get distracted. They take their eyes off of Jesus. They're focused, they're running the race, and then they see something over here, and like with kids, they see something bright and shiny and sparkly, and they want to go over here. They see something over here, they want to go over there. And as Christians running this race, we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ. When Peter was walking on the Sea of Galilee toward Jesus, and he took his eyes off of him, what did he do? He began to sink. And what did Peter say? He said, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. He needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. And we can look at Peter and say, well, that was silly for Peter to do that. But how many of us have taken our eyes off the Lord? And what do? We begin to sink. The last thing we see in this text, this goal of life, and that is heaven itself. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll get to this verse Wednesday evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. This is our motivation, the goal, heaven. We want to run this race. We want to lay aside every weight, those things that might slow us down. We want to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, that sin of unfaithfulness, not having a strong faith, and running so that we might obtain that reward. That reward should be so precious to us that we are willing to sacrifice anything we need in order to obtain it. Just think if on the judgment day you're standing before God and he's separating everybody, and here's heaven and here's hell, and the Lord says, depart, I never knew you. We're going to enter into hell. Are we going to have a chance to do any more for the Lord on the day of judgment? No. Do we think we're doing too much for him now? We can't do enough. We cannot do enough. Our soul is the most important thing, and we should live for Christ we should commit ourselves to him. Colossians 3:14, Paul says he strived for the mark of the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. Let's look at these passages again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be saved eternally? Do you want eternal life? Do you want to live forever and ever? Do you want to live in the presence of God to enjoy his grace and mercy, his glory, his blessings for time without end? Do you want to leave this land of toils and cares and trouble and tears where there's aches and pains, to go to a land where we will never grow old, where we will never die? Do you have the faith to do that? We aren't going to get there with just a little faith. We aren't going to get there. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Friends, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. You need to do that today. You need to lay that aside, whether you're not a Christian. You need to make up your mind, repent. You need to lay those sins aside, turn from them, those weights, and say, I want to give my life to Christ and be baptized. If you've done that and you aren't running the race as God has marked for us, as set out, you need to make correction. You need to make your life right. Friends, is there anybody that needs to make their life right tonight? So we invite you to come forward and do so. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.